I love NFL week.
I love the NFL every week. If it wasn't such a brutal sport, they could put it on like every week for me and I would be highly entertained. Oh. Even though
maybe not so much this week, because oh my god, some of the QB play this week was just absolutely horrendous. Good grief.
Well, welcome everyone to the Final Play podcast. Week 12 of the NFL. I'll quickly run through the scores. The Texans, Thanksgiving Day was supposed to be three games, ended up being two, but we'll talk about that later. So the Texans are beating the Lions 41-25. The Washington football team just dismantling the Cowboys 41-16.
I know you want to talk about that, so...
It's good, not getting any minutes in that. The Falcons destroying the Las Vegas
Raiders. Oh, my Lord.
43-6.
What an egg.
Just if you're a fantasy fan, like just anybody in the Falcons that you thought would get all those points got none of those points. But that's anyway. The Bills are beating the Chargers 27-17. The Giants beating a Burrowless Bengals 19-17. The Titans and Colts 45-26, but the Titans got up there. Derrick Henry just carried Tennessee basically.
That was a first half shell shock to Indianapolis. Like it was 35-14 at the half that game. That was insane.
The Vikings just getting over the Panthers, really just having a fourth quarter blitz of Vikings, 28-27. The Pats just still staying in there, beating the Cardinals 20-17, still have a chance to make the playoffs.
That was one of those games where QB play by both quarterbacks was just ugh. I actually thought that was going to be a nice game to watch because that was on TV here. I think that was the game on 7, mate.
Yeah.
That was just utter trash.
Nah, I'm out on Cam Newton. We'll talk about that later. I'm out. The Dolphins beating still the winless Jets 20-3. Fitzmagic going off.
Trevor Lawrence.
The Browns just seem to just getting these terrible wins, but getting wins and still 8-3 now, 27-25 over the hapless Jaguars.
I've said it all year that the plucky Jags, they just do not go away, and Cleveland having trouble with the Jags is just so Cleveland.
We'll talk about that game first because I just want to go. I'm going to pose a question about the Jaguars. Your boys, the Saints, 9-2, beating the Broncos 31-3 with, we need to talk about that game. Just poor Broncos, but, poor Broncos, but, you know, also that's your own fault because this is the way it is at the moment. The 49ers beating the Rams 23-20.
Thanks a lot, Rams. Thanks a lot. That's all I'll say. Thanks a lot.
The Chiefs beating the Bucks 27-24. I'm sure we'll talk about that game as well. The Packers beating pretty much what you said at the start of the year. What's happened to the Bears is happening. Beating the Bears 41-25. The Seahawks beating the Philadelphia Eagles 23-17. And the game that was supposed to be on Thursday ended up being a week later on Thursday, the following Thursday. The Steelers still haven't lost yet, beating the Ravens 19-14. We'll start just that Browns and Jaguars game. They're plucky, the Jaguars, but my question is why? Why?
We're taking them too lightly because they're Jacksonville.
But why are Jacksonville doing it?
You potentially can
get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Field. Well, maybe Trevor Lawrence if that's what we were after.
That's the thing. It's not so much that they'll get the second of the bunch. But Justin Fields, I think the only downfall for Justin Fields is that Ohio State just simply aren't playing college ball at the moment. They've only played four games. And so Trevor Lawrence had the two games out because he got coronavirus. But he's actually playing.
Yeah, true. But what I'm getting at is, unlike NBA, I don't like the way they do this. Well, I do and I don't, but unlike the NBA, with the NFL, if you have the worst record, you get the first pick. I mean, there's no real lottery, there's no balls, there's which no. I kind of get, but then I, on the flip side, I kind of like seeing, like, you know, the draft lottery, and I don't understand the draft lottery of the NBA. I don't want to understand it because it's so complicated, apparently. But
not really. It just goes on percentages.
Well, that's right. You know? But then percentages would seem to get you nowhere anyway. If you know, we could go through NBA drafts one day.
Exactly.
But,
well, it only happened two drafts ago, didn't it?
So, wow. But like, yeah, in this, if you've got the worst record, you've got, you know, you're going to have the number one pick. Do you like it that way?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Okay.
I think it's purely because they're making every game so important in the NFL because there's only 16 games, whereas the NBA, you know, over a normal regular season, it's 82 games. So you could have a lot of teams finishing on the same record or be there or thereabouts. So you have those percentages of lottery balls.
Yeah.
You know, how they do it. And generally, it still comes out the way that it should.
Yeah.
But, and the other thing is, too, like, you know, when you get high-end NBA drafts, they're not always good. You know, whereas the NFL, like, you know, you could go through into the second round and still get second, third round, fourth round and still get good players.
Yeah, well, it depends on the player, really. Like, depends on their ethic, and yeah, there's a lot of factors with the NFL. But no, yeah, no, right. I agree with the team
that they've gone to. You know, it depends on a lot of stuff. But
I agree with 16 games, really only 16 games. Yeah, if you got the worst record, you're right. You deserve the first pick. But the funny thing is, just, and I'm tying it back to what you said, the teams try. You know, you think they tank, but they don't. You know, look at the Miami Dolphins happened last year. The Jaguars now, they try to win. The New York Jets, they try to win. They don't have a great team, but they at least try.
That's the thing. That's what it is. It's personnel. Like, they're trying their absolute heart out to try and win because that's just the competitive nature of it. It's just that the construct of the team, and you know they'll have guys that, you know, that are essentially second tier players that are trying to go up against top-notch talent, and you just it takes you know, maybe a little bit of luck, you know, multiple people having the game of their lives for them to get, you know, a single solitary win if you're a bad team.
Jacksonville
have it once it's week one.
No, that's right. And
so, you know, they're riding a, you know, a pretty bad losing streak at the moment, so it's just
thing with the Jaguars. And this is why they were in the game. They don't have a terrible team. They have a very, very, very good undrafted running back in James Robinson, who topped 128 yards and has been like one of the best running backs all year, especially as a rookie. You probably won't get it, but he should get Rookie of the Year. I think he's played brilliant.
Yeah, you'd hope that he'd be in some sort of, you know, offensive Rookie of the Year conversation. That Jacksonville is subpar quarterback play,
quarterback
and subpar
play.
Receiving.
That's it.
Like,
that's
they just,
right.
They just don't have any top-notch receivers.
Don't get
Chark or anything like that. That's a top receiver. They just simply don't have, you know, top-notch receivers. Like that's their problem.
They did have a number one
running back in a Leonard Fournette, but they decided to let him go for, you know, for absolutely nothing, for whatever. Yeah, you know, he was disgruntled there as well. So it's a, you know, nice mutual parting of ways. But it's just Tony Khan dropped the axe.
Yeah, all I'm getting at is
he fired the GM. Dave Caldwell.
Their offensive line is good. Like, I looked at the last two or three games, and the quarterbacks don't really get sacked in their games. No. Glennon didn't get sacked in this game.
Glennon was clean in this game. Like, that's what I mean. Mike Glennon is a very low end starter and a very good backup.
That's right. And their defense isn't too bad as well. They got that is it Miles Jack, the middle linebacker? Yeah, Miles Jack. So they don't have a terrible team, but you're right. You are right. They need a quarterback, you know, someone like, well, depending on who they pick up, but they're still in game. That's why you're right. Now, I'm just sort of tying it back to having the worst record. At least all these teams are trying. That's, yeah, you are exactly right. The Browns, how are the Browns 8-3? I don't get it. They squeak in these games. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
They're going to the recipe that is right for them, and that's to run the ball heavily.
Uh-huh.
Now that Nick Chubb's back, that's the recipe. Run it with Chubb. Run it with Hunt. Try and take the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands as much as possible. Try not to make him do the big hero plays, so to speak. Otherwise, I would draw the comparison to him trying to play the way that Carson Wentz does, and it doesn't look good. It just doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think Kevin Stefanski has made a big difference there, their coach. Because he's realized the tools they've got, like you just said, two great running backs, and just used them and using them well, you know. And they have very good offensive tools.
No, of course they do. We've said at the start of the year, it's a buffet there. And even though they've lost OBJ, but it's still a buffet.
Still a buffet. You've still got Jarvis Landry, and you've got, Austin Hooper as well. You're right. I think he's just said, seen Baker's limitations, said, this is what you need to do to sort of, get the W's. They're a funny old team. They're going to make the playoffs for the first time in God knows how long, but, that's fine. Like that, I thought they'd be good. It's just the way they're playing. I'm just surprised they're 8-3 is all.
Oh yeah. I'm not a terribly big believer in what they're doing at the moment. They come up against the good teams and they get demolished, which is what most good teams will do to them. But they're beating the teams that they should. They probably should be beating these teams by, a little bit sort of wider margin,
especially
this game.
Yeah.
I get it. It was in Jacksonville, but you've got to be a little bit more dominant. I think, in a game like this, especially defensively, I think Myles Garrett's been out a couple of weeks now.
He's back next week.
They didn't have Denzel Ward as well. But they've still got, their front guys and their linebackers, they're still good. Like, they're a solidish defensive team. They shouldn't be recording zero sacks. And, Myles Garrett coming into – I think he's been out He's coming back this week. But, early in the year, not even a couple of weeks ago, he was the leading – he was the leader in sacks this year.
Yeah, he is coming up against, only the Tennessee Titans, so that'll be very interesting. Him and Derrick Henry. Well, he won't be going for Derrick, obviously. But – I'll switch it up to the Thanksgiving games, or just probably the one really I don't want to talk about. But the Texans, yes, it was over the Lions, but, I think people forgot how good Deshaun Watson really is.
I think they have just the way that they've sort of been buried away this year. But that was – I watched most of that game. That was just a topsy-turvy – turnover to another turnover into another turn. It was so bizarre. Like some of the play that was there, Detroit started the game fairly well, defensively, sort of just holding Deshaun Watson in check. Yeah. They get a good three and out. And then the very next play, Stafford throws a pick six straight into J.J. Watt's hands.
J.J. Watt, yeah.
And he just puts his hands up, grabs it, and takes it in the end zone. So Detroit Detroit gets the ball back off the kickoff. The very next play, there's a fumble by Detroit, and it's picked up and it's taken back. So it's straight up the Houston away on top. By the end of that, there was three turnovers in eight snaps.
Yeah.
In that game. Detroit comes back and forces a fumble against Houston. It's just like, what in the hell is going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like in the first half, nobody wanted to win it. And I hate that cliche that, they don't want it or nobody wants to win this game or anything like that. But it was ball security was unbelievable.
Yeah, but once from that, I just felt once from that second half,
Well, once the second half got going, then yeah, that was it. It was all Houston.
And Deshaun just done what, you know, he did. Like he abandoned the rushing game because, you know, well, we could probably talk about, we don't have to really talk about it, but just how terrible, you know, no point picking up David Johnson. That was a terrible trade, but not his fault. But, you know, he has got good receiving.
It was always going to be the health with David Johnson. He has been hurt the last three seasons. It was always going to be a matter of health, and he started the season really well, but could he stay healthy?
No, he can't.
Clearly he can't.
No, he can't at all, but, you know, he went to his arm, and it's always worse. Will Fuller got two TDs and 171 yards. Unfortunately, Will Fuller's out for the rest of the season due to PED.
That's right. Nasty PEDs. Naughty boy.
But, you know, Brandon Cooks as well in that Kuti. I think it's – is it Kevin Kuti?
Yeah,
or
Kiki Kuti.
Sorry. Yeah, so, as long as – they're not going to make the playoffs, but as long as Deshaun can throw the ball like that, I'm surprised he just doesn't run more. That was probably the thing I took out of that game. He ran, but not like – it's not a Deshaun Watson run.
No, but that's play design. You know, their offensive line's banged up. Their offensive line's banged up as well, so they simply can't get the run angles and the run game going for him. As much as what they would like, I would think. You know, like an Arizona or Seattle or something like that, that like to get the quarterback involved in the run game, and Buffalo as well, that like their quarterbacks. You know, designed runs. Baltimore's the same. They like those designed runs for him. They can't. I think Houston like to do that when they're on top. I think it's hard for them to do that when they're playing from behind. But this could have been one of those games where it could have been, you know, terrific for Deshaun Watson all round. You know, he only had 17 completions but had 318 yards.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
You know, some of the bombs that he was dropping in there to Will Fuller and even a couple to Duke Johnson. You know, they'll big plays. So, and that's just the way that they ground out that game and then establish dominance in the second half. Demoralize Detroit.
It's unfortunately the only thing the best for them to do is to win games for two reasons. One, to give confidence, obviously, to the players coming into next year. But for two, because they don't have the number one, their first round draft pick.
They want Miami picking as low as possible.
That's exactly right. So the more games they win, the better it is for them, and the worse it is for Miami. So
I mean, they'll still Miami will still get
top ten, maybe twelve.
It won't be top ten. I looked at the draft projections last week, and I think at the moment Miami are like 12th. So they'll get the 12th pick.
Yeah, they'll still have a high draft pick
as well. That's still.
They could package both of those and move up anyway. But what did you think? I'm only putting it down because it's just Derek Carr doing what Derek Carr did last year. But the Falcons just smashed the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, smashed them. No one saw that coming.
Oh no, yeah. I heard a few people sort of say that, yeah, we like ourselves a little bit of Atlanta in this game, but I didn't like it to the tune of 43-6.
There's not much to talk about in the game. I just can't work out what happened, except that it was just Derek Carr doing Derek Carr sort of things, really.
They even had to bring in Nathan Peterman for a series, and that's never going to be any good at all. But Even in this, like it was death by paper cut, yeah, death by a thousand cuts. Like Matt Ryan was not that good in this game at all.
No, not at all.
22 completions, not even 200 yards, only averaging 4.7 per completion. Yeah. Like that's Drew Brees from the start of the year type numbers without Michael Thomas, just dink and dunk, type runs. Yeah, Calvin Ridley always does well. You know, they had to rely on guys like Russell Gage and Hayden Hurst and Secaucus who's made an appearance again because Julio Jones was no good to go. He's just, man, he's been a disappointment this year. Yeah, and that's not on the fact that he's on my fantasy team.
Yes, it is.
But you just take more notice. He's arguably a top five, top ten receiver in the league, and he has been horrid this year.
How good is that kicker, that young Hoku? He's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, he's a very good young kicker.
Ex soccer player and just belts it 5 out of 5. He could end up, and they're saying, there's every chance he'll end up being the top point scorer this year.
Possibly.
Because technically he can be the top point scorer, or any kicker really can. So, I'll quickly move on from this one, but they're 6-5, so they're not completely out of it, but if Derek Carr looks like we're having another game like this, do they look at Marcus Mariota? I don't know.
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Okay.
He's there.
You're out of Marcus Mariota.
I think I just believe more in Derek Carr than what I do with Mariota. Like, why wouldn't they put Mariota in this game instead of putting Nathan Peterman in? Like, Nathan Peterman, the guy that threw 4 interceptions and a half a couple of years ago for Buffalo. Like that, Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, good point. Why? Good point. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, great point. The Titans over the Colts. Derek, I don't think anybody can stop Derek Henry. You know, Derek Henry's now started.
First half railroading.
Derek Henry has now shot himself back into technically, and you know, you don't really give it to running backs, but you know, he shot himself back into MVP contention.
Oh yeah, no, I've sort of watch First Take on and off, and Stephen A. Smith is putting Derek Henry's name extremely high in the MVP conversation.
Extremely high, but there's only one person, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later. But he just I don't know what else to say about him, except it's just...
17 runs for 140 and 3 touchdowns in the first half. You'd be happy with 17 and 3 touchdowns for a game.
And look, the thing I liked about that game, except for Derrick Henry, is that Tannehill was consistent enough. Yes, he only got 221. And he only got one touchdown, but he was consistent enough, you know, to getting to AJ Brown, to getting to Corey Davis.
That,
I didn't mind that. They didn't do that.
You see that touchdown run, that 69-yard touchdown run by AJ Brown, that was massive.
Yeah.
Like he is just like he's not DK Metcalf big, but boy, he's close. Like he is a strong physical receiver, and he's just bumping off people. And once he got in the open, there was no one catching him. That was unreal. That TD run or that TD catch, and then you know it was like 50. It was like 50 yards after the catch. It was insane.
Yeah. Now that he's back at full health, they're 8-3, so they're not doing sort of too bad at the moment. That's how I sort of see it.
Look, it's still a tussle between those two. Them in Indianapolis for the AFC South because they're 1-2. So now that this year the playoffs have changed a little bit as well. So there'll be, I think it's one, maybe two extra teams that are going to be making it in there. So there's a possibility that Indianapolis could get a wild card anyway, as long as they keep. Yeah, keep up appearances in this. So it's a bit of payback, I guess, because the Colts sprung it on Tennessee only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that was in Tennessee. So this was sort of a bit of a get-back game for the Titans.
Yeah, no, exactly. I just think they're hitting at the right time, Titans. Like they're the same thing that we're sort of doing last year when they sort of come out of nowhere and surprise a few teams.
Yes, Derrick Henry was playing well, but when needed, Ryan Tannehill was playing well at the moment. And at this point in time, it's more on Derrick Henry and Tannehill as it hasn't been asked to do a whole lot.
No.
So it'll be whether they can replicate that if the run game does get stuffed and Derrick Henry is ineffective, then can Tannehill step up with the likes of AJ Brown, Corey Davis, you know, and you know, Firkska, Yeah, the likes of those sorts of receivers.
Yeah. No, look, if AJ Brown stays healthy, because I don't think he was out, I think, towards that end of last year. I think they'll finish first. Like, Colts are weird. Like, it's hard to pick the Colts because you don't know what's going to turn up with Phillip Rivers. They have a great defense. Right.
Well, that's mean. It very much relies on the game that he has. If he has a stinker, and that's like most quarterbacks. It's like most quarterbacks, but he doesn't sort of give you. If he has a bit of a stinker, then they don't have a terrific sort of run game to back themselves up on. Now that Jonathan Taylor's not there at the moment, so they don't really have that good run game to sort of back them up. If you know Phillip Rivers looks like he's just going to be an interception machine, like he has been in previous seasons, like you know he was fairly effective in that game.
Yeah.
And when you keep him clean. He's still a good quarterback at what age? What is he, 37, 38? So he still can get it done.
And their defensive. Their defense is great. Darius Leonard is their defense. Like they're sitting – they were sitting second up until this game. Now they're fourth at the moment because they got 45 points put on them. But they're great. Their defense is great, and that's what's going to keep them in the hunt, I think.
Yeah, that'll be what they'll have to rely on. And besides the fact that the rest of the division is a bit of a dumpster fire anyway, that'll keep them in contention as well. You know, when it comes to divisional games later on in the season.
How the hell did the Pats beat the Cardinals with Cam only throwing 84 yards and getting sacked three times? I'm out on Cam. I'm done. I'm not that I'm out on him. I just think I'm out of the way he was. You know, he started great and all that, and then, you know, everyone went, oh, the old Superman's back. But he's not. He can't throw the ball like he used to. He just can't.
No, oh, my God. That's, I mean, 84, not even triple digits. Yard-wise, only had 9 completions, 2 interceptions, sacked 3 times, was hit multiple times. They didn't get a whole lot of help. You know, he rushed the ball, okay. They didn't get a whole lot of help from sort of Damian Harris and James. You know, James White is not really your quintessential sort of, you know, hard hitting running back. He's more of a pass catching threat than what he is, in the rush game. But they really don't have a lot to throw to either.
They don't. That's what I can't work out how they won that game. That's what I mean. I don't get it.
It's just one of those bizarre sort of games. They're down 10-0 early, like that. It's got to be a scheme thing. It's got to be a Bill Belichick sort of thing. The one thing that I did sort of notice in that game was right before halftime, and it was just trying to think if it was 10, I think it was 10-7, right before halftime, and on 4th and 1, Arizona in the red zone, they decided to go for it, and New England come up with a big, big stop to stuff them, to sort of keep them in the game.
It was 4th and goal. Yeah, you're right.
And that was the thing. But you know, by the end of it, you know, it come down. I think it was the third quarter. Gonzalez misses not the longest field. I think it was a 43-yarder that he missed, and that end up, you know, that game could have gone into overtime instead of Nick Folk kicking. For the win, he could have been kicking for the tie, and that game could have went to overtime. But, you know, Nick Folk had the game winner towards the end of the game. I think it was 30-odd seconds to go to get New England the win. Like, it's just they got themselves into just good enough field position to be able to kick enough field goals. And that's what I mean. Yeah, the Gonzalez field goal miss was massive.
It was huge. But yeah, you're right. That the turning point was exactly what you just said at that end of that, just before the end of that second quarter. You know, getting them, they were 1st and goal, 2nd and goal. Like they should have scored.
It was there. It was 10-7, and Arizona, I guess, well within their rights to sort of go for it. They were in the red zone. It was a 4th and 1. It wasn't a 4th and goal, but they decided to go for it, and the New England defense stepped up. And that was a play. There was literally like as time was expiring in the first half. And that was huge for them to be able to keep them in the game at 10-7.
I think Arizona just to have, to be honest, I think it's their coach, Cliff Kingsbury. I just think they just designed dumb plays. They like, really, if you're looking at it, you said, you know, they're well within their rights to go for it, but really, they're well within their rights to take the three. I think Cliff Kingsbury just designs dumb plays. That's my.
I think they had a lot of confidence going, especially in that first half. They had a lot of confidence sort of going into it, and you know they've got guys like, you know, Kyler Murray that's good on the run design. You know, Chase Edmonds, Kenyon Drake. You've got guys there that should be able to get you a yard.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you do, instead of designing some sort of, you know, funky jet sweep or anything, just go with a nice little cute quarterback sneak. You need 1 yard.
Kyler's big enough or at least strong enough and quick enough to do it. So
he had a bit of a sore shoulder in this game as well. So I'm surprised that they made him throw it 34 times.
But this is what I mean. I just think Cliff Kingsbury, they have a good team. I just think he's just a dumb coach. I think he designs dumb plays, to be completely honest. That's why they're 6-5.
Yeah, you could. That's, exactly. You know, you couldn't go into this game and not so much. You know, not lay an egg, but if they're going to be a threat in the NFC, then they have to go to places like New England, teams that they should be beating and beating them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But like I think you said at the start of this when we're talking about the game, I think it's just a Bill Belichick factor. Bill Belichick, you know, he can.
It was the fact of they just got enough done.
I swear,
and just kept Arizona in check enough to be able to keep them in the game.
He can just control game. He can control the weather if he wanted to. He's crazy. Well, he probably does. Do you feel sorry, you know, beating a hapless Broncos with a wide receiver as their quarterback?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, the Saints beating the Broncos?
Yeah, no, a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, considering that you had a second-string quarterback.
Who threw for 78 yards.
Well, can you answer to me why, you know, Jameis Winston is not playing? I get Taysom Hill, and I like Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill could be a wide receiver.
I think it's the fact that he's been there long enough. They trust him with the scheme. And what I saw of Jameis Winston a few weeks ago when he came in and replaced Breeze after he had every single one of his ribs broken, Jameis Winston looked good on about 3 passes, and the rest, he looked yuck.
I tell you,
That's all I could think of. Taysom Hill is more of a dual threat than what Jameis Winston is. They can do, you know, Taysom Hill's been there for you know, 4 years now. He's got the offense. He knows the scheme. He's got an arm. He does have an arm.
He's
a little inaccurate. It's more that they can keep doing the design run plays for him like they do when he's your gadget player, and you keep him in there for that thing. Latavius Murray was big in that game, and that was the kind of game that they needed to do. They had to just go to the run game. Hill had 10 rushes.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I'll tell you who I think doesn't like it, and that's Alvin Kamara.
Alvin Kamara be hating this. Alvin Kamara won't be hating this because, yes, they're getting the wins. He's still getting a little bit of workload. You know who is hating this? Alvin Kamara fantasy owners.
Yes, that's me. That's why I said that. That's right. Because Taysom Hill is a great run of the ball. Why do you think he got 2 touchdowns in that game?
He's had 4 rushing touchdowns in the 2 games he started.
That's right. And Kamara doesn't get the ball. So you're right. I am dirty that, you know, I have Kamara in a lot of leagues, especially as a keeper league. There's no way I'm letting Kamara go. Extremely dirty. I want Drew Brees back quick smart. But, look, regardless, I mean...
That's just not going to happen anytime soon, man. But the amount of broken ribs that he's got at the moment, he's got a lot of healing to do.
It's but my feeling. I know we're digressing to fantasy, but how do you take Alvin Kamara out of your starting side? It's too hard.
You just can't.
Well, that's exactly right. He's the number one.
In one league at the moment, I can't find a spot for Julio Jones at the moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
I can't do it.
But then Alvin Kamara is still the number one running back at the moment in all leagues. So at the moment,
I think he's the league leader in scrimmage yards still.
Yeah, he is. So look, they got the win. Just poor. He wasn't. I mean, he didn't do great. He wasn't terrible. Like, god damn. Like, it's their own fault. Like, Kendall Hinson apparently played decent, a decent quarterback back in college. But
yeah, I think his first year in Wake Forest, he played quarterback.
Yeah.
That was like 2017. Huh? But he's mainly a wide receiver. So he's an undrafted wide receiver coming in to play quarterback against one of the better defenses that's playing really well, in the Saints D at the moment. Look, yeah, Denver total only had six first downs total. Hinton had one completion. That didn't happen until the third quarter. And that's me. Taysom Hill wasn't a whole lot better. He had two completions in the first quarter and was 6 of 11 at halftime. So he was no better. So this game was all about how much the Saints could run the ball. You know, as a team, they had a total of 44 and rushed for 229, four touchdowns. You know, Latavius Murray had two touchdowns towards the end of the game to sort of shut the gate. The last time that a quarterback in the NFL had more interceptions than completions was Ryan Leaf for the San Diego Chargers in 1999.
Oh, my God.
This Kendall Hinton had one. He was 1 for 9. And he had two interceptions.
But the NFL have pretty much made it clear. Like, if you go through every game, I sort of look back a little bit on this, but they've gone through every – they've pretty much said, unless there's an outbreak, like that happened with the Ravens, like, they're not stopping games. It's not – you can't blame the NFL that these three other guys that didn't want to wear a mask, so they had to quarantine. It's really the Broncos' fault.
It was Jeff Driscoll, wasn't it?
Correct.
He was the one. Yeah, he was the one. That's the contact tracing come back to him. He was the one that basically infected everybody.
So, you know, and then obviously he's hanging around the quarterbacks. None of the quarterbacks wore a mask. You can't blame them.
Exactly.
On an outbreak, like the Ravens had, like 10 or 12 players, whole different story. They had to postpone and all that. They couldn't postpone this. They had to quarantine the other guys. So that's, you know.
I just thought it was a bit funny, too, that, you know, that the Broncos are out of playoff contention, but the Ravens aren't. They've got the reigning MVP, so it's like, oh, no, we'll just keep pushing this game back, and we'll just keep pushing this game back a bit more. We'll play it Tuesday. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, we can't do it. No, we'll play it Wednesday. I find that a bit funny.
I just think that the outbreak was too much there. But, I mean, we're not in the U.S., so we don't know.
I understand that, but I just found that a bit funny.
I can't believe that, you know, yes, they're playing ahead. And look, morally, I think it's ridiculous. I think this whole season is ridiculous.
They're not worried about morals.
That's exactly
over there.
What I was thinking. On the other flip side, they're not worried about morals. I love watching the games, so it's hard. Like, you know, what else are you going to do except for not watch the games? Especially in the US, when they can't even go outside. So, of course, they're going to watch the games and play ahead. But it's hard not to feel sorry for the Broncos. But, you know, it is what it is.
No, that's right. That's just one of those things that happen.
The next game, the Niners, they beat the Rams. I don't know. I like to, like, for all the stuff that happens to the 49ers, they're frisky. They can win games if they need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jared Goff is, you know.
How did he get out-dueled by Nick Mullins?
I don't know.
It's Nick Mullins.
His quarterback rating for that game was 10. Jared Goff, when he plays terrible, he really plays terrible. I agree with you, you know. You know, if you look at the, you know, Cam Akers finally had a good game in that game, 84 yards for one touchdown. But
you take that 61 yard rush out of it. He doesn't really have that great a game.
I know. I didn't think Debo Samuel had a game in him.
He played unbelievable.
Yeah. 11-13. He caught 11 targets for out of 11 catches out of 13 targets for 133. He didn't get a touchdown, but they've had so many people out the Niners, but they're hard to write off. They're very hard to write off.
Nick Mullins, you can't get beat by Nick Mullins.
Especially when Aaron Donald's on the other side tearing at you. He did get a sack on him, but that's about
Aaron Donald should have been wiping the slobber off his face, going, I'm going to have a day today. I'm going to eat Nick Mullins for breakfast. He should have been picking pieces of Nick Mullins out of his teeth. And it was nothing.
Nah, it was nothing. You're right. It was exactly nothing. You know, it was Jared Goff. It wasn't their defense. Their defense was okay. It was Jared Goff. Jared Goff. I still don't get why they paid him that contract. I still can't work it out. You can't go off one Super Bowl final and just go, yeah, okay, here's, what do you get, $32 million a year.
That's him at his best, but that's him with an offensive weapon on his team like Todd Gurley as well. Let's not discount that. And also,
who had an MVP horrendous season.
Pass interference call that wasn't called in the Superdome, which gets them to a bogus Super Bowl. Anyway, so they shouldn't have even been there. But anyway, we'll go past that.
That's the second time this year. I'm just going to mark that somewhere. Second time this year he's talked about that.
Second, I reckon it's probably about the fifth on this year. Give me a break.
But, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Todd Gurley was on an MVP tear that season as well.
Even before, Todd Gurley was good, and then all of a sudden he just fell off a cliff.
Yeah, he had that injury, and then literally, yeah. But you're right. I mean, we don't have to talk about much this game. It's hard to write off the Niners. They have is it Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan, their coach?
He's a terrific play designer.
He's unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. You're right. He's an unbelievable play caller. So, it's hard to write off. It is. It's hard.
Except when you're up 28-3 in a Super Bowl against New England and you don't run the ball.
That's true. And then that's the next team we're going to talk about. They got wiped last year. I don't think they had any chance against the Chiefs. The Chiefs.
Until Tampa did it.
Yeah.
Came back.
They did. Mahomes is MVP favorite, and I don't think it's close. And I can't see. I know the Steelers.
He is now. He's overtaken Russell Wilson for sure.
I don't think anyone's going to catch him. And I don't think even if the Steelers finish winless. Yeah, that's the Jets. Even if the Steelers finish undefeated, I don't see any team beating the Chiefs. They are too good. That's how I see them.
No, and a lot of people are sort of going in that direction that, okay, we get it, that the Pittsburgh Steelers are 11-0 and, you know, they're the team that's got the best record and everything like that, but they're just not trusting in them as much as what they would the Chiefs at the moment, even though the Chiefs have got that one solitary loss to the Raiders. I think there's just more of the trust factor there in the Chiefs because they're the reigning Super Bowl champions.
And I just think Mahomes, like especially when they end up, you know, outscoring the Bucks 14-0 in that fourth quarter. They just played it. I don't know if it was Andy Reid or Mahomes or what. They played that last quarter perfectly.
Yeah. Look, in the second half, they sort of took their foot off the pedal a little bit.
Yeah.
That first quarter slash first half by Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes. Like Tyreek Hill had 7 catches for 203 yards in the first quarter and a backflip into the end zone for good measure.
why I still can't work out why they didn't let him go for the all-time record. He was so I can't remember. I had it somewhere, but I think at halftime he was over 150 yards at halftime. At halftime.
Tyreek Hill. He had 203 in the first quarter.
First quarter. That's what it was. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, but then he ended up at the end of the game with 269. So that's what I mean. You just keep feeding the monster. If they can't stop him, you just keep feeding the monster.
He should have broke that. I think it was 350 yard record. He should have been able to break that.
But Patrick Mahomes had 359 yards passing in the first half. 25 for 33 in the first half. He should have had 550 yards in this game.
But they, like you said, they took the foot off the pedal.
I
watched that this game. I didn't realize how fast Tyreek Hill was up until this game. I mean, I knew he was fast, and everyone talks about it.
The reason why they call him the cheetah.
Like, he is fast. Like, you know, they were doing those it's like those old sort of running where he played like a running back where they sort of ran behind the quarterback and he did that sort of loop out to the outside.
It's just like a jet sweep.
Like a jet sweep, but it's a wide receiver running.
Yeah.
And he burns people and doesn't like, yeah, he's unbelievable. Like, I mean, then you got Kelce there. I can't see anybody beating them at all. Not at all. I'd put money on them now, and I think they're going to win very easily.
I think they're going to be very hard to stop. And that's me. Like, you know, to Tampa's credit, they came back, a couple of fourth-quarter touchdowns, but two costly interceptions by Tom Brady in the second half. They're just killers at the moment. And, you know, there's sort of, you know, a lot of people out there that are sort of saying that is – you know, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, the right combination for what Tom Brady is at the moment. He's one of those guys that has got an absolute buffet to pick from offensively.
That's right. And Gronk topped the yards, didn't he, for 106 or 109 yards. So, like, yeah, it's like Gronk coming back.
106 yards, yeah.
That was my worst trade in history to you, but anyway. I can't believe that, but you're right. He's got the weapons. I think Bruce Arians is fine. I think I don't know. It still looks like Tom Brady doesn't realize he has an embarrassment of riches and really just needs to use everybody. Like Mahomes. Well, Mahomes doesn't. Well, he does have an embarrassment of riches.
He's just got one of the best tight ends and one of the best receivers, one of the fastest receivers going around.
Yeah, true. They were the main games I wanted to touch on. Was there anything else you wanted to finish on?
Look, I thought the Cincinnati-New York game was just was a little bit, I guess, sort of bittersweet for the Giants. 19-17, probably not. Yeah, to me, not the best game to sort of talk about. I think it was just interesting to note that Daniel Jones got a hamstring injury in this game. And that sort of shot him. It looked like he might be out for a couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
And Colt McCoy come in and sort of replaced him. And I was the same thing. Colt McCoy is a Giant. I thought he was a Washington football. Anyway.
He probably would have got cut when Alex Smith came back. But I mean,
possibly. So that's sort of part of that. You know, Wayne Gorman had a little bit of work in that game. So. I just thought that was sort of a little bit noteworthy. That Daniel Jones has sort of gone down after he didn't look that bad in that game. So, Minnesota coming back from 21 points to 10 down in the fourth quarter.
I just wanted to say he hasn't looked bad all season. If he had a better side, he's not a terrible quarterback.
His is ball security. Like his is absolutely ball security. You know, he looks like he's learning a little bit better than what he did at the start of the year. Looked like he was making the same sort of mistakes over and over and over again. He's not up there in topping the league in like QBs for turnovers at the moment. That that illustrious position goes to Carson Wentz at the moment, who's got 18 total turnovers. Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins are tied for second at the moment with 14. That's total turnovers. That's fumbles lost and interceptions. So, I thought the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, I think, isn't sort of putting a lot of confidence in Pittsburgh believers at the moment, but this game got dicked around so much.
Yeah.
Where it was meant to be Thanksgiving, and then it was Monday, then it was Tuesday, and then it was Wednesday. I don't think this was ever going to be a super high quality game. You know, RG3 ended up getting the start. Pittsburgh.
He started terrible.
No, he worked himself into it better. It was good red zone defense early on in the first quarter and into the second quarter that kept Baltimore in the game. And it was Pittsburgh's receivers that were sort of letting them down a little bit. They just couldn't hang on to the ball in the first half, but finally got their act together got the win that they made it look hard, but you know they got the win over a divisional rival. Who's to say what they would have looked like if they had played Lamar Jackson instead of RG3?
Well, in saying that, but like, you know, and this is for all players, but, like you said, the game got dicked around so much, and I'm assuming you'd have to, you know, a lot of that they'd have to prepare, you know, or mentally even just prepare that you're going to, you know, got changed like four times. You get changed and changed and changed. Like, you just get over it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, RG3 was terrible. I mean, what happened? That guy was numbered the second pick for Washington.
He was rookie of the year, and then all of a sudden he started getting hurt, and then that was it. Like he took in his first two seasons, he took so many hits. It was almost like a David Carr situation with the Texans at the start of the century. You know, in 2000, 2001, whenever he got drafted, he just got hit so many times. And yeah. His body just couldn't absorb them.
Yeah.
Like Cam Newton or someone like that, he just doesn't have the body to be able to take that many hits. And it's taken its toll on him.
So we'll finish with our studs and duds of the week. These probably could be straightforward, but we'll start with a stud of the week.
Last week was a quarterback wide receiver combo. This week it is again a wide receiver quarterback combo in Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. Like
Like I said, if they didn't put the foot on the brake, and kept it on the pedal,
That could have been a historically, statistical game for both of them.
Yeah, for both of them, exactly right.
They're almost lucky. You know, that they just had enough gas in the tank to be able to keep Tampa away, especially in the fourth quarter.
And I think, you know, for much of what people said about Andy Reid, I think he's just got his niche there. I just don't see anybody beating Kansas City. You know, that $500 million for 10 years seems like a lot, but in his prime, there's no. Oh yeah, Mahomes is going to be an all-time quarterback.
And the thing is, too, like, he's the draw card for people to want to go there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even if they do sort of, you know, lose receivers, you know, whether it's via trade or you know, their younger receiving core want to get paid and they want to go somewhere else or anything like that, that's going to be the draw card on them recruiting. Oh, do you want to come to Kansas City? Oh, you'll have a terrific career because you're getting the ball thrown to you By Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think Kelsey's ever going to leave. Kelsey just loves him. He thinks he's one of the best human beings ever. I mean, watching them playing golf, and he just loves Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, loves him. Maybe not that kind of love.
He's getting Travis Kelsey paid too.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Put Patrick Mahomes on the Jets. What do you think happens? Or put him on the Jags. What do you think happens? Does he look this good?
Probably not. I don't know. Like on the Jets, no. But I don't know.
Just the hypothetical thing sort of thrown out there. Like, you know what I mean? It's a, you know, a lot of it's coaching and scheme and stuff like that. But you put him on a turd of a team, and what does he look like? A second question: put Sam Darnold on the Kansas City Chiefs with Andy Reid, with those receivers. What does he look like? He could look like a world beater.
Possibly.
I'm just saying, you know, yeah, you look at the optics of it and you just put it in those sorts of terms. You know what I mean? Like you start chopping and changing people into certain situations and it looks a lot different.
Yeah, that's possible. I never thought about it that way.
Well, that's what I mean. Mahomes, but yeah, some of the stuff that he does, he's a freak. Yeah, back foot throws, throwing across his body, throwing away from himself. Like it just some of the stuff he does with accuracy and the deep ball accuracy that he has is out of this world.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but who did you have your dud for the week?
Look, we cast our minds back 21 years to a WWE pay-per-view that was called the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah.
The Big Show makes his first appearance. And, I guess we sort of ramble on a little bit there. Well, I'm going to call this the Thanksgiving Day Massacre that happened to the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, because those two games on Thanksgiving where there is a lot of eyeballs on those two games. And okay, Detroit scored 25 points, but in saying that, I think they laid a bit of an egg, and the Dallas Cowboys were just, oh my God. Like what you obviously watched that game, right?
Yep.
What in the hell was that fake punt play? I was in the fourth quarter. Third quarter. What in the hell was that? That was just given no chance to succeed. It was telegraphed as soon as they had two running backs. A wide receiver that was on the special teams in motion. Like that was, they just had no chance to succeed on a 4th and 10. No chance.
That's
one of the worst fake punt calls I've seen.
I know he's not going to do it, but I just to show, you know, I guess how serious he is about this team. If it was me, there's no way Mike McCarthy can last this season, after this season. I know he won't do it.
So you think he's just going to give him the bush straight away?
I know Jerry Jones won't do it. That's the problem. But why keep him around? You know,
Who's your better option to put in there?
I don't know. I mean,
that's what you got to think of. Like we say with the NRL, you know, in the NBA, the coaching carousel that goes around there, it's all well and good to be able to go, right, oh, everybody, yeah, just sack him. Who's the better option? I know they've got a lot more people they can pick from with college coaches and things like that, or they could go with an offensive coordinator that could go up. What's the offensive coordinator's name? Is it Kellen Moore?
They could do
things like that, but who's your better option?
I you're right. I don't know, but you can't just say they looked poor when Dak was there before Dak got injured.
It was defensively.
It was defensive. It still is defensively.
They went from one of the most dynamic offenses to Prescott going down, Ezekiel Elliott fumbling the ball like you just wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
He had another fumble in this game. He's had 6 fumbles this year for 5 losses. He in his first 4 years in the league, he only had 5 fumbles for a loss. He's had 5 of them this year.
Yeah.
His confidence is just in the toilet.
It's funny. It's funny that you say that, Vizek. I don't get how he's still. I think he's still running back. Yeah, he's running back 7 at the moment. I don't get how. But they're just. Well, I agree with this whole Thanksgiving thing. If I was, you know, an American, you know, did the whole Thanksgiving, you know, the whole loving it, and that's a big part of it, watching football and that. I would be just horrified of watching those two games. Terrible games to watch.
They were terrible. I watched both of those games. Oh, yeah, they're horrible.
They were both horrible, you know. Unfortunately for the Cowboys, even though I'm writing them off, they still have a chance of actually making winning the division, which is absolutely ridiculous at 3-8.
That's it.
At 3-8, but you know that. So Washington are top 4-7, which is
Washington and the New York Giants look like they're sort of going to duel it out, but they're none of them really are out of it. But you know the Giants have won three on the trot now. Hot team, hot.
Yeah, well, Daniel Jones is down now, so they're not going to be a hot team. But anyway, I think Washington
and Alex Smith, you know, he started the last couple of games. He's just the old head there getting the job done. Antonio Gibson's playing terrific.
Terry McLaurin, like they're the team. They have a very good pass rush, like that Chase Young. Obviously, we're saying this about a 4-8 team, but they're the team. They're definitely the team.
I think they've got the best chance of winning the division.
Yeah. So, I can't believe we're talking about that in a 4-8. But anyway,
unfortunately, someone from that division's got to get in there.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And they're going to host a playoff game as the divisional winner.
Oh my god, I can't believe it. And it's going to be a team that doesn't have an actual name at the end of their first name.
Can they just pick a name?
Anyway, well, that'll do it for this NFL pod. Don't forget to follow us on our socials, which is Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook, which is easy, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see be able to get all our podcasts. You'll get a link to Spotify, SoundCloud, as well as Podbean. And if you are a trading card master, then don't forget you can go to gimco.com.au, which is the reason I bring that up all the time, because they have their podcasts there very generously, very, very generously.
They had an NFL break up tonight. I'm not 100% sure if it's sold out. They had an NFL break tonight, which whilst we're doing this, I would have missed out on probably getting a spot. But that's fine. That's saving me money. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. But
money's always good, generally.
It is what it is. And if we have a look here, not tonight's one looks like it is. Where are we? No, tonight's one looks like it's sold out.
Well, that's it just shows you how popular cards are still too.
I think it was listed at like 6 o'clock Victorian time, which would have been 5 o'clock our time, and they're pretty popular on that. Yeah, they sell out pretty quick, so you've got to be on it.
Is there rookies in these breaks?
Yeah. It's got this year's product.
Imagine getting someone like the, you know, like if you got the Chargers just to get Justin Herbert.
For sure.
That would be mint.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's two products from this year's XR and Illusions from this year. So, and they're not cheapish products, like they're sort of mid-range sort of products. I think it was a few weeks ago they had Immaculate Collegiate, which I'm not a big fan of getting the rookies from this year in their collegiate uniforms. I don't like it. I'd rather see them in their professional uniforms, but that's just them trying to get a big, a high-end product out there. Cause I think the Emacs, I might be wrong. I thought they were about $2,000 a box. I can't remember. They might've even been more than that, but with the crop this year, you know, with Joe Burrow and Tua, Chase Young, Justin Herbert. There's some nice teams. There's some nice teams to get.
I know, but if you're getting Burrow, you're seeing that injury to, you know, ACL, MCL, every CL.
ECL.
Just seeing that. You're just seeing that value go straight down after you see that. Oh, poor guy.
ECL.
That's how I'm finishing. Well, my name's Jason. ECL Smith. I was going to say something about breaks, but ECL sounds way better.
You know, ECL's good. I'm Miles. Hurry up in Washington and pick a freaking name, Plum.
Pick a freaking name, Plum.
Pick a name.
They should pick a name. You're exactly
pick
right.
Pick a name. Just pick a name.
Yeah, exactly. Pick a name. They should pick a name.
Make it the Sentinels.
It won't be the Sentinels. Be Red Wolves. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
See ya.
See ya.
Sentinels.